Happy Mother's Day. And it is a delight to be with you again, albeit virtually, but you are in our hearts, and on this Mother's Day, we are thankful for you. Let me make one brief announcement and then transition to some reflections to encourage all of our hearts as we begin a time in God's Word. Many of you are aware, particularly our parents with children who would be in children's ministry, that beginning this Sunday and in future Sundays, you'll see that on our homepage, there is a new slide. You can't miss it. It's a children's ministry slide, and if you were to click on the link there, it will take you to a lesson that's been prepared by one of our teachers, and so we're launching that today with a lesson from the person who just led us in prayer a few moments ago. Abby prepared a musical lesson to lead our children in worship in ways that they will both enjoy and you will be grateful for. So let me encourage you to take advantage of that, if not right now, later today or during the week. And in future weeks, not every week, but in future weeks, we will be dropping in lessons prepared by different teachers. These are not professionally polished, nor should they be, any more than I imagine your dinner time conversations are. These are as informal as what we do downstairs, but they're done by the teachers that your kids love, and they're talking about Jesus from the scriptures, which is what's better than that. So take advantage of that, and thank you to our teachers in advance as I see your names on the schedule. I look forward to watching your lessons too, not to check you for orthodoxy, but to learn more about Jesus through each of you. Well, on this Mother's Day in May, I thought it was appropriate to begin by titling the message A Not So Perfect Mother's Day for reasons I'm sure you understand and already empathize with. We're celebrating a holiday in the midst of a pandemic, and we are socially quarantined from one another, and for many of us, we are not able and therefore distant from our moms today. And I think, as Dan alluded to, that therefore God is present to work on our behalf in order to minister to each of us, but particularly to our moms, young and old, and to grown children like me who have older mothers, and to those who have lost their mothers, or those who grew up and their relationship with their mother actually didn't result in one of love and nurture, but actually results in wounds. God is working today to minister to you. I'm grateful for the reminder from Ephesians that God worked in order to forgive us of our sins. But what Paul does from that reality is he then says, therefore God is working today. He's present, not abstract. He's not distant, certainly not detached from you, because he loves you. And so let me begin by addressing those for whom Mother's Day is a difficult day. You've lost a mother this year, perhaps to death. Or you're in that period of time with your mother where it's the long goodbye. She's experiencing Alzheimer's or dementia, as I'm aware some are. Not in our congregation, but elsewhere. And it's a very straining, difficult, emotionally exhausting season. And there's other things that make Mother's Day not a time of celebration, but actually it brings to the surface fresh sorrows. What does Jesus say to those of us on this day when the greeting of Happy Mother's Day doesn't bring joy, but brings tears? For difficult days, for a not so perfect Mother's Day, I think what Jesus says is very similar to what he said to Martha at the tomb of her brother Lazarus. Do you remember the story? It's only a few weeks from Easter. How quickly, at least for me, the Easter accounts seem to fade into memory and lose their present vitality. Lazarus has died. The sisters had reached out to Jesus. They dialed 911 Jesus, saying, Jesus, our brother is sick. Come and heal him. They knew a great healer. And John records in chapter 11 that Jesus delayed 2 days. He waited 2 days. By the time he arrived, Lazarus arguably had been in the tomb 4 days. And so when he does arrive, Martha greets him. And Jesus knows Lazarus has died. And what does he say to her? The words and his actions show how God is working today for those of you that experience loss and are experiencing sorrow on Mother's Day. He says to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Listen for the question. Martha, do you believe this? Christ gives Martha, and Christ is working today to give you new meaning in the face of real sorrows. It's not that suffering doesn't matter. Jesus knows what he's about to do, but how does he enter her space? Does he chide her for her unbelief? Is he detached because he's busy and preoccupied? He certainly has many things on his plate. He weeps. He weeps. Even though he knows in just a few moments, through his authority and word, Lazarus will come to life again. But before he weeps, he works to have a conversation with Martha, like he's working to have a conversation with you. In the face of your loss, do you believe that Jesus is your life today? Not only when you die, but that he is your life, meaning he has new life to give you in the midst of loss and sufferings. See, if I set my hopes, my life, on something in this life, even something as precious as a mother, my life is only as good as my circumstances. And my despair reveals Jesus is not my hope. But when my hope is in him and him alone, and he works hard and he continues to work hard to make sure that I keep it there, then even my sorrows, which are real and which he joins me in, he weeps with me in order to gain my attention again and say, Martha, am I your life? Do you believe this? Only there, friend, will we find the perspective and the stamina and the peace to grieve, but with hope, knowing Jesus not only grieves with me, but what is ultimately important to me has not in any way been denied. Jesus is your life today. And he is working to have a conversation with you on Mother's Day, working really hard so that not only will you know he cares through his tears, but your life, him, will be real. Let me encourage you to consider that as you consider Mother's Day today. Notice his presence. Notice his tears. Listen to his question. And then ask yourself, do I really believe this? There's another conversation that we want to have, and it's a conversation I want to have with the moms that are caring for young children. And some of them were kind enough to give me some of their care. So I want to pray, and then we're going to read another conversation Jesus had with his disciples, not with moms. I searched the scriptures, and I couldn't find Jesus' Mother's Day sermon in here, but I did find a real conversation with some followers of his that seemed very similar to where moms live their life. So let me pray, and then I'm going to read from Luke's Gospel, chapter 12. Father, thank you for your encouragement already. Through the songs we've heard, through the encouragement Patty shared just moments ago, responsive to the Spirit, through the prayer both Dan and Abby have prayed, Lord, and foremost of all, that you are present and working amongst us, that we would find our hope, we would find our true comfort and peace in the one who is as real as the resurrection we confess, Jesus Christ. Comfort us now. Counsel us from your scriptures. And help each of us, Lord, to look to Jesus by faith. We pray this in his name. Amen. Luke chapter 12, going to read verses 22 to 25. You can follow along. This is projected behind me. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body, it's more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn. Yet God feeds them. Of how much of more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? This is a familiar passage because Jesus is speaking to some of his earliest followers about what is a familiar concern. We live in a world of worries. Understandably. We live in a world of worries because outside of your home, there is a lot to worry about. Some are global in scope now. Some are as near as what's outside your front door. We live in a world of worries. But we need not even go outside our home to know that there are things internally that we worry about every day. I think moms, understandably, in their efforts to love and nurture and care, train and be a mom to their kids, there's many things they're concerned and worry about. Am I being consistent enough in my training, in my teaching, in the guidance I'm providing my kids? Do I point out to them where I see God is at work in their lives? Day to day, and in their hearts, week to week? Am I trusting him? I love this one. These are some of our moms. I can't come up with good questions like these. Am I trusting him to be all that I need in the future for what I am completely uncertain about? That was an awesome question. The day-to-day and week-to-week worries that our moms have are real because there are real things in their lives and in the lives of those kids they love that are worrisome. So isn't it kind for Jesus to have a real conversation with real people and speak into, lean into what is a daily, even if it's an unspoken, but nonetheless conversation they're having with themselves. Parenting, you may not have been told this when you signed up to be a parent. Parenting by God's design helps you and helped me rediscover our inability, our weakness, our lack. Now, I grew up in a generation where parenting was more formulaic. In reaction to a secular book, I think his name was Dr. Spock, not the Star Wars guy, but the other guy, where parenting was hands off I grew up in a generation of Christian parents where it was hands-on. It was structure. It was formulaic. There were rules to follow. We even had diagrams. And I put my trust in the execution of those plans to change my kids' hearts. That's a bad place to put your trust, because only God can change hearts. He uses faithfulness. But you're listening to someone who wasn't parented by any of those charts or diagrams, and Christ's grace broke through the message of the gospel. So whether you use formulas or not, whether you have structure or not, whether you parenting by design reintroduces us to our inability. And when I'm faced with my inability, particularly when it comes to my kids and their hearts and their lives, I lose my sense of control. And I, by design, it seems, worry about the things I don't control. I don't control when the governor's going to lift the stay-at-home orders or not. And I can choose to worry about both when he does that and when the implications of that, but I don't control any of them. I don't choose and I can't control how my kids will respond to my training and my love and my nurture and my investment. And I can tend to worry about that. And so parenting by design seems to introduce me to things I don't control, even when I'm being faithful and sacrificial and loving and careful. And it brings out worry. And so what does Jesus do in that moment? He says to his disciples, he steps into that space of worry. And he says, I know the worries that weigh you down. I know them. How could he know them? He knows them because he loves you. And he's involved with you. If you're a Christian, he is with you by his Spirit. He indwells you. You're his sheep. You're his bride. You're his treasured possession. He knows the worries that weigh us down. And therefore, he steps into that space with us, with these words from Luke, to help us find in him a place of rest and refuge amongst the very things we don't control. So friend, let me ask you to do something which is so hard to do as moms. I understand that. There's no space in your schedule. Examine the direction of your worries. Examine the direction of your heart when you worry. And is it not to those things that you don't control when it comes to your kids? And then here's the truth. If anxiety is what weighs a heart down, according to Proverbs 12, a good word makes us glad. So the best news I can remind you from Luke is that he loves me and he invites me to bring all my worries to him, all of them to him. So what can I do today to bring my worries to Christ and receive his rest? I hope that for you, Mother's Day is a day of rest. I know for moms, rest is in short supply. I've been told that. I observe that. I'm just aware of that. With any amount of observation, I see how busy and it's because you love what you do. And so rest is hard. But Mother's Day is a day where we receive, right? We receive cards, or we receive flowers, or we receive willow tree, chicken salad sandwiches for lunch, or we receive encouragement, we receive calls, we receive, what else do we receive? We receive hopefully some fun or recreation. It's a day where we receive, and that becomes a source of rest. So if that's a source of refreshment and rest, let's allow God's word to work for us today, that we would receive the blessing and the rest that comes when we believe what he says. What can I do to bring my worries to Christ today and receive his rest? Well, in Luke, the instruction was to bring our cares to Jesus. And Peter, who was one of those instructed that day, later wrote in his letter, 1 Peter chapter 5, to cast all our cares on him because he cares for you. So as we celebrate and relax and rejoice, particularly as moms, through the gifts and cards and encouragement we receive, may God give you grace as well to bring those concerns and those worries to the one who says, I am your rest. Leave them, entrust them, cast them to me. Martha, do you believe this? I believe you do. And so my encouragement to you is put Christ to work for you today by trusting in him and taking these promises into your world of worry and knowing they're more than a promise. They are as real as Christ is resurrected. And therefore, we can put our hope in him today. So that's my first point to counsel you. We look to Christ because he cares for us in the midst of life's difficulties and uncertainties. But this is Mother's Day, and as you've reminded me and Scripture reminds me, we're to honor moms. The fifth commandment declares, and it still applies today, honor your mothers. Because this is a noble calling. Motherhood is a noble calling, and therefore we are to honor our moms in ways that are appropriate with our lives and personalities and experiences. But as your pastor, there's one way I want to honor our moms, our grandmoms, and our young moms, and everything in between moms, with this. Thank you for showing your children and your husband and your world what sacrificial love looks like. There's a psalm I read a few weeks ago to you. It's become one of, I think I have a scripture crush on it. I keep going back to it. Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to my Lord, my refuge, my fortress, my God, in you I trust. And then this, verse 4, he will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you find refuge. And when we looked at that a few weeks ago, briefly, albeit, the image, of course, which the Psalms are famous for, in this case, is of a mother bird, perhaps it's a hen, covering her young chicks. It's the image the psalmist uses to describe a mother bird who is shielding her chicks from the withering heat of a desert sun, which is where the psalmists live. It's the image of a bird keeping warm her young chicks during a polar vortex. What was that yesterday? But I digress. It's the image of a mother bird who's seeing a predator approaching, shields her young, and receives the blow in her body that her chicks will survive. It's the image of Christ isn't it? Because the psalmists always point to Christ. Receiving on the cross the blows, if you will, not of a predator, but of your and my sin and the wrath it deserves. And he does so, so that all who would put their trust in him, all who would repent, that is, turn from putting their trust in their works or putting their trust in their efforts or putting their trust in anything else other than Jesus, the Son of God, the perfect substitute, the innocent Lamb, the beautiful Messiah, the man, that we would put our trust in him and him alone. And we would know, experience afresh, not only forgiveness, which is eternal and glorious, but his protection today. What does this have to do with moms? Isn't that what you're providing for your children today? Not dying on a cross for their sins, but modeling through your sacrifices, through your nurturing, through your protective care, through your attention to the particulars of their lives, through your provision for what they need, for your laying down of those things that by right you would be entitled to in order to provide for them what they need and cannot provide for themselves. You are worthy of honor because in the eyes of your children, you are an example of sacrificial love. Later today, I'll be on the phone with my mom, and I will say words very similar to that. She was not a perfect mom, any more than she was parenting a perfect son. But she has put her hope in a perfect Savior, and her son has as well. And so we can honor her as we worship him, knowing that in a world of worry, and there is lots to worry about, Jesus knows the worries that weigh you and I down. But the best news is that he loves you and me and invites you and me to bring all of our worries to him. First and foremost, the worry of heaven and facing a holy God apart from his mercy and grace. Have you done that, friend? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the substitute for your sins? Believe it and receive eternal life today on this Mother's Day and receive his rest. But if you are a Christian, do you believe today he covers you with his wings, if you will? And therefore I can put him to work by not worrying and entrusting all my care to him. What can you do on this Mother's Day in the midst of willow tree and Zoom calls to entrust to Christ today all that you carry? Let's pray. Lord, we're so grateful for the kindness and compassion reflected in many moms. And how, Lord, through their care, children are given at a very young age, and in many cases for years into their adult years, a vivid picture of the sacrificial love of the Savior. Lord, for those whom are experiencing not joy, but today is a day of grief, Lord, we mourn with those who mourn, and we pray, Lord, we ask you in Jesus' name, by your Spirit, that you would step into the space of their sorrows and have a real conversation with them as you did with Martha. Take them by the chin, gain their attention again, and remind them, I am your life. I am your resurrection today. Do you believe this, Martha? Lord, only you can provide real comfort, even as you weep with us at the loss that is so near. Lord, for all of us, may today be a day where we look to Jesus and find in him the one who eagerly, willingly bears our burdens. Lord, if you worked as hard as you did on Calvary to take the burden of our sin and shame and guilt and God's judgment for it, will we not today let you work hard to carry what we so easily worry about? Lord, we do. Our spirit is willing. Help us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Happy Mother's Day.